When I was growing up, my best friend was a young man named Dominic. Dominic and I met when we were 5 years old, and we were virtually inseparable from that moment forward. We went to grade school together. We went through Jesuit high school together. We were almost unseen apart from one another. Dominic grew up in a faithful Catholic family, went to Mass every Sunday. And so when I came back from my freshman year of college and announced that I was going to be entering the seminary, I thought Dominic would be one of the people most thrilled. To my surprise, he was one of the least supportive. Then I remember he said, "Jeremy, don't you think you're going a little overboard? I mean, you could be religious and still be a husband, a father. You don't have to go become a priest." And I said, "Dom, I know that, but I believe it's what our Lord is asking me to do. How could I refuse him?" And so I went off to the seminary, and I remember over and over that year, it was the first time I really studied our Catholic faith. As odd as it is, but you all know this, all of you who grew up Catholic, you can grow up and not really know your faith. Right? Years go by, you go to a Catholic school. I went to Jesuit high school. I knew almost nothing about my faith. And I entered into the seminary, and I discovered the riches and the beauty, the splendor of our faith, and I fall in love with it. And over and over that year, I think, I can't wait to get home in the summer and share all this with Dominic. He'll love it. And so the year closes out. I fly home to Sacramento. Dominic and I probably got together 3 or 4 times within the first couple of weeks I was home. And I remember, I could never forget the day that he looked at me, and he just said very pointedly, he said, "Jeremy, I don't know if I can keep spending time with you." And I said, "Dom, what are you talking about?" And he said, "Because when we're together, I learn things that I'm not sure I really want to know. Because then I have to change my life." My brothers and sisters, my friend Dominic is like a miniature reflection of the Catholic Church in America. Right now, it's estimated that maybe 30% of Catholics go to Mass. People would prefer to remain in ignorance about their faith so that they're not accountable before God, rather than to know their faith and live it and help to transform the world. Do we want to know our faith and touch souls and lead them to heaven? It's a decision. So what do we do to wake up the world? Right? Our Lord says, "When I come, will people even be prepared for my arrival?" And we can think of our own family members and friends. Maybe as we hear this reading, we think of ourselves, "Gosh, am I ready?" Last week, in the Catholic Church, we celebrated the feast of St. John Vianney, and I remember what he did. At the end of his life, St. John Vianney had one of his altar servers come to his bedside. He was on his deathbed, had a few days left to live. And he said, "Boy, if you would take the box that you find underneath my bed and take it out to the field and destroy the contents in that box, please burn them." So the little boy takes the box, he goes out, and it's probably the only time he disobeyed St. John Vianney. And he looks in that box, and to his surprise, he discovers all these little instruments of penance. There was a hair shirt in there. There was a little whip of cords that he would inflict small sufferings upon himself with, and other such instruments. And the boy goes back into his bedroom, doesn't tell him that he hasn't destroyed the box, and he says, "Why did you ask me to destroy that?" And he says, "Because I don't want people to think that I am holy, because then I'm afraid they won't pray for me after I die." But the question the boy did not ask him was, "Why would you do such penances? You're already this living saint." It was found out, St. John Vianney, he would spend 14, 16, 18 hours a day in the confessional. People would flock to him from all over Europe. And it was discovered little by little that those people who were the greater sinners, he would call them the big fish that he would try to hook, those people who hadn't made a confession in many, many years, or who were just returning to the faith, he would give them these tiny little minuscule penances when they went to confession. Those people who were very devout Catholics, he would give larger penances to. And so one day, this very devout Catholic man finds this out and is frustrated. And he goes right up to him and says, "Father Vianney, this is ridiculous. It's unjust. These people, they have to atone for their sins, for the things they're doing wrong. Why should we have to suffer for them?" And he says, "My brother, those people would not be able to endure the penances that they deserve." He said, "But I promise you, their penances do not go undone. I do them for them." At one of my parish assignments, I became very close friends with a young married couple. They had two young kids. They were in their 30s. And they invited me over to dinner fairly regularly. And after the first couple of occasions eating at their house, I noticed that the wife, this young mother, she didn't eat dessert, right? And she'd make these delicious desserts. She'd bring them out. Everyone else would eat them. And so it spurred my curiosity. And finally, one day I had to ask her, when she was alone, when her husband and family weren't there, I said, hey, what's... And she was skinny. She was in shape. It wasn't a diet. It was something else. So I said, hey, why don't you eat dessert? And she said, honestly, Father, because I love dessert. She said, I'm one of those people who all day long will go and take, you know, little munchies. You know, cookies, cakes, whatever. Any sort of little dessert I can get my hands on. I love sugar. And she said, a few months ago, I've been trying to figure out for years why my mother and I don't get along. And it hit me that it's because she's fallen away from the faith. And therefore, we cannot share that which is most important in life with one another. And she said, so I decided because I have such a great love for sweets that I would make that sacrifice and ask our Lord that He would grant her conversion if I would give up all sugar. And until the day she returns to confession, I will not eat any sugar products. And she was, talk about overboard, she wouldn't even drink lemonade. There's too much sugar in it. So she, months go by, and this is terrible to say, but I met her mother-in-law one time. I thought, this poor girl, she's never going to eat dessert the rest of her life. So a few months go by, and one day I go to their house, and she has ice cream and cake and chowing down on desserts. Her mother-in-law not only returned to confession, returned to Sunday Mass, but she started going to daily Mass. She had this radical transformation of life. And I have no doubt that it's in large part due to her sacrifice. My brothers and sisters, how many of you have come to me and said, Father, my children have fallen away from the faith. My grandchildren, my husband, my wife, my brothers, my sisters. Our Lord says on one occasion, there are some demons that require more than prayer to be cast out. They also require sacrifice. How many sacrifices we could offer for the conversion of souls. St. Padre Pio one time said, he prayed to our Lord, he said, give me the grace to live and to pray in such a way that not one soul would ever be lost. Imagine if every single one of us came today, received our Lord, went back to our pews, knelt down, and made that same prayer. Lord, let me live and pray in such a way that not one soul would ever be lost. Do you think our Lord would refuse that prayer? I think if we prayed it daily, this humble little parish would transform the state of California. That would be a huge miracle. My brothers and sisters, are we learning our faith more deeply that we can share it with others? Do you listen to Catholic radio? Do you listen to the CDs in the back of the church? Are you reading the lives of the saints? Are you praying the rosary daily? I remember St. Teresa of Avila, she said, I would never let my head hit the pillow until I had first prayed my beads. We ask our Lord as we receive Him today to fill us with the power of His Holy Spirit to work for the salvation of souls.